unexpected trouble? CashNet USA can take the stress out of borrowing emergency funds. Our fast, secure application process makes it easy to apply online 24/7. Plus, CashNet USA offers same-day funding if approved before 10:30 a.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Additional terms may apply. Visit CashNetUSA.com or tap the banner to apply today.
Hello, it is Bob again, and I'm here for you. Titling is so bizarre, but welcome to another episode where I call people. I call you guys. You've left messages on that number that's up at the top of the thing. You know what I'm saying. And I let you know on Twitter and Instagram stories or Facebook where I'm going to be calling people and see how you guys are or whatever you want to talk about. Sometimes I'm suggested to, I'm real good with grammar. It's been suggested to me to pick a topic, but I don't know. People seem to be all over the place because the world is so upside down, which I don't mind being in the upside down. But why is Stranger Things taking 3 years to get the next season? I know we've been in quarantine, but those kids are going to be 40 by the time the thing airs. And I want to see what happens. I'm going to call Paul Reiser, my friend, and find out what's going on. Anyway, I've name dropped. I've said the name of the show. I want to tell you to rate and review and, comment. Positive stuff. Only positive. Because you'll go negative now that I said that. Damn it, I fucked myself up. Oh, he said fuck. Damn it, we can't listen. I'm sending my best to all you peeps that are out there. I call peeps because I think those little bunny candies, mine a marshmallow. I knew somebody that loved them. They're shitty. I don't know. Shitty peeps. That's what I'm coming out with. With all the great tastes of poo. Well, I've just lost another 14 people. But I want to thank you for listening and for being so kind with all your comments, because it's quite meaningful to me to be able to do this. I'm doing it because I want to. So here we go. I'm going to call somebody that, her name is Cricket. How do you not want to talk to that? As a comedian, you normally don't like crickets because that means nobody's laughing. But I can't hear you now anyway, and you're not laughing. Why should you? But maybe I'll say something clever, or maybe Cricket will be funny. Who knows?
Hello.
Hey, Cricket. It's Bob Saget. How are you?
Oh, I'm really... Wow. Hi. I'm good. How are you? Happy Friday.
Thank you. You know, TGIF.
Oh, yes, of course.
So Cricket's a cool name. How did you get named that? Was someone a big fan of Pinocchio, or...?
Well, my mom and dad, actually, they were, kind of nature-y and philosophical with their middle names. And that's my middle name. My brother's is Rock, and I'm Cricket. So they kind of, like, found hidden meanings, I guess, with it, and
that's really what they cool. did. That's very cool. I mean, it's not like they named you Stump or something, or Log. That's a sweet yes. name. Cricket is like a cute name. And back in the 50s, there was a TV show, and I'm trying to remember who Cricket was. I think it was Connie Stevens. I'm not sure, but that you wouldn't know that. But so now I heard from my producer that you had something that you're going through right now that just happened recently.
Yeah. In December of 2019, our family cat passed away, and she was 19.
Wow, I'm sorry, 19 years old. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Did she have a fake ID?
Honestly, she probably could have.
Was she kind of human-like?
I mean, yeah. Like, we'd be like dinner time. She would come over. We would hang, she'd watch TV, you know. She was really a really family oriented, I guess.
Right. So you lost a member of the family, because it's true. It really is a member of the family when you have a pet that long.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my first memories was going to go pick her up, so.
And did she have to get put down? Is that what happened?
Yeah, so it was actually a couple days before Christmas, and we had family flying in that day, and she wasn't eating, and so we were like, let's just bring her to the vet. You know, we thought it couldn't be too bad. So we brought her to the vet, and she was fine, and on the way. So they like gave her, like they did some procedures on her and she was kind of out of it. And so right as she got home, she was like pretty much downhill from there. And then my dad was like bringing people home from the airport. And so we had family coming. And so it was kind of, it was nice to have family, but it was sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. I had a dog named Alan. We named him after our dentist. And he only got to live 9 years. He was a King Charles Spaniel, and he ended up with cancer. And I tried to get him chemo and radiation. And, you know, that's not a value of life. Yeah. And then after the suffering, we put him down as a family. And it's very, did you do it as a group? Did you do it together?
So we waited until the next morning to bring her in. And like I was, when I went to bed, I was like just hoping like she would just peacefully pass in her sleep. And so we woke up really early the next day and I was like, dang it, why? Like I wish she was still breathing. Like she was clearly on the last like limb. And so we like wrapped her up and then it was my mom, my dad, and me, and we drove. And right as we left like the driveway, she took her last breath, and it's like she kind of knew she was going to a place that she didn't want to be.
Right.
And so, yeah, I was, like, crying. I was, like, telling my dad, I was like, she's just like us. She knew, like, that we were, you know, didn't want to pay for the medication. She was, like, one of us. Like, it was funny at the time, but now I'm like,
right.
No, can't believe I said that.
Well, he saved on medication. She was very thoughtful, so.
Yes.
And what was her, it says here her name was Gigi.
Yes.
That's a cute name.
Thanks. There's a funny story that goes with that. So it's Chinese. Well, it was my grandmother. I don't know if I can say this, but it was like the family name for the upper region of a woman. Like that was like what they would call them. Like,
oh, this is my podcast. You can say this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that was like, so it means boobies. And my mom was like, why don't we name her Gigi? And she's like, I like that name. And it turns out it's not even a real word in Chinese. It was just like a pet name.
Oh no. That's horrible when you're trying to name something after boobies and it's not even the right word.
Yeah.
That's so embarrassing.
But yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
No, it's funny. I'm like, yeah, my cat's name is boobies. So.
In another world, because it's not a word.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. A lot of people, my wife has one dog alive at this moment and lost her other dog. And we live in Los Angeles, and her sister, sweet sister, took care of both of her dogs and kept them in Chicago. And they were little Maltese, they were cute ones. And one of them had to get put down because it was just too much pain. And the other one right now isn't doing very well. So it's so hard because you really do. People don't understand it, how much you, well, mm-hmm. A lot of people do. But people that are listening right now, many have animals and wouldn't know what to do if they didn't have their dog or their cat. Or I had a bird. My mother wouldn't let me get a dog, so I had a bird that lived 14 years named Caesar, and he was a cockatiel, which has the red cheeks and the kind of like a cockatoo where the head goes up, but they're smaller, and the crown, whatever.
Oh my God.
And he used to talk, mm-hmm. and he would say, what's the matter, boy? And hello, Bubula. And it was quite weird. And he used to bite my mother. And so my mom, after 14 years, the vet gave her some drops and said, you got to give him to the bird. And I came home from school and I was about 15, I think, 16. And mm-hmm. she had a latex glove on, a rubber glove, holding the bird that you could never touch. Like squeezing it like an ankh. Like I think his eyes were bulging out, trying to put drops in his mouth, and he wasn't taking them. So she just killed the bird, basically. And then we buried him under the apple tree in our apartment complex. It was pretty pathetic, the end of Caesar. But, you know, he was named Caesar, and that you know, he didn't end well either, the famous dude. But I'm real sorry for your loss, and I know are you going to get another one? You going to get a new cat?
Yes. It's just been really busy right now. And I guess now's the perfect time. I mean, I'm home doing school and stuff, so.
Right. It's nice. Definitely. That would be a nice time to get a cat right now or a new pet. Because we're all, you know, getting through this confined life. And whatever love you can get and give is kind of what keeps you going right now.
For sure. Yeah. At first, my mom was like, no. She's like, no, we can't get another pet. And it was really hard for her too, because when my brother and I went to college, it was just her and the cat at home. And so it was definitely really hard for her to think of the idea that she had more love to give to another animal.
Right.
But I think it's kind of warming up to her now.
Well, she will. Yeah. She will. It's very hard. It's very hard when you lose a pet and you have a relationship with it and you go, well, that's just Gigi. And you can't replace. I mean, I didn't get another dog because I didn't want to go through what I went through with Alan. Some people can do that, but I miss him too much. And my girls all took it really hard too. My three daughters, because he would, their mom and I got divorced when we just got him. And then, so for 9 years, he was my son. It was like joint custody on Alan, the King Charles Spaniel. And he would go from house to house where, you know, 1 week at my house, 1 week at their mom's house. And so he was quite a love. He always slept in a bed with one of my daughters. And I think they messed him up because one of my daughters pulled him on a bike with training wheels and made him run. And those long-backed dogs, they can't run like that. It's really dangerous for him. And I think one of his vertebrae got kind of messed up. But I don't think it gave him prostate cancer, which is what he got. So, oh, well. You know, life goes on, and you just love them while you got them, you know?
Definitely. I remember I wrote in my journal, like, a quote that I found about how, like, to the animal, like, they're all they ever know. And, like, but to us, you know, we can have multiple pets, but to that animal.
Right.
That's their life, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm... You sound like you're recovering pretty well. I'm really happy you called me, and I hope your next cat is even more interesting and won't take the place of Gigi, but maybe you could name it after another part of the body that's not quite as, well, I don't know. That's probably the safest one.
I mean, my mom was like, how do you say penis in Chinese? Like that, because we want a boy, and she's like asking around like her mother-in-law, my grandma. So, who knows? It might be named something phallic, too.
I don't know what that name would be. I guess it would be Al, I think. Something like that. That's me saying the wrong joke. But, well, that would be the next name. I hope your next cat is not named that.
Who knows?
No, you don't know. It might be fun. It might make it all fun. So, take care of yourself. Thank you for calling me. It was really sweet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Cricket. My best to your family and to your mom who named Gigi.
For sure.
Okay.
I'll definitely pass it along.
Good. Take care.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. I mean, there's so many things I wanted to say there, but I can't. I can't say them. You know, I mean, in The Jerk with Steve Martin, he called his dog Shithead. I mean, that's just damn funny. And I don't know. I mean, there's so many things you could call a dog that have to do with parts of the body. And we'll be right back.
My fiance surprised me with an engagement ring from Shane Company. A simple solitaire ring with a beautiful oval diamond. I love it. I had a vision of what I wanted to do with the wedding bands to create my own look and add even more sparkle. Shane Company has so many options, so it was easy to bring it to life. I got two bands. I selected a diamond contour band to go on one side of my engagement ring and a delicate vintage band to go on the other. It's a unique ring stack and it fits my style. It's totally me. My fiancé got his wedding band at Shane Company too. I had no idea what he'd gravitate to because he never wears jewelry. He tried on lots of rings. Turns out, he really liked a black tantalum band. It's masculine and unique, and it suits his personality. The wedding is really soon, and I can't wait to wear my gorgeous new rings every day.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
Okay, we are back, and I'm going to call somebody who has a cool name. It's Sabrina. It could be a teenage witch or an Audrey Hepburn movie, so you got a lot to pick from there. She's in Long Island, according to what I'm noticing, and it sounds like she loves comedy.
Hello?
Hi, Sabrina. It's Bob Saget calling.
Oh, my God. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, this is a spectacular surprise.
Oh, thank you. I've never been called spectacular or inferred.
Well, it's so late in the day, and it's the end of the week, so you're you're not on the East Coast.
No,
you're on the West Coast.
Yeah, I'm in LA, and you're in Long Island.
Oh, yeah, I'm in New York. I'm in Long Island.
So, what's your deal? Are you working from home? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I'm working from home. I work remotely. Hold on just one second. So I work remotely from home. And
who is that you were talking to?
I happen to be at Party City. I'm picking up balloons for my mother-in-law's birthday.
Oh, my God. Is it okay? Am I messing you up by talking to you while you're at Party City?
No, if we're not flexible, what else can we be right now? So,
right?
No, they will wait. They will have my balloons.
Are you wearing a mask as we talk?
I just stepped outside and took it off so that I would be clearer.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry to take you from Party City.
No, it's quite all right. It's quite all right. You are much more important. I'm so happy to talk to you. This is great. You totally saved the day.
Mutual. So has it been a rough day? We've all been going through a weird time.
It's been a rough day. I got a new CPA office that hired me for a couple of days a week, and there was all kinds of IT issues. I had lots of work to do on my first day, and I got none of it done because of computer problems.
Right.
Login issues and then HR paperwork. So that means next week is going to suck a little bit more because there's that much more work to do. But at the end of the day, I cooked dinner and I sat and ate dinner with my family. And now I'm getting balloons because there's something to celebrate. So,
well, this is great.
You know, whatever sucks is really not that bad.
No. And balloons don't suck unless you fill them with nitrous oxide. And that's not real laughs. So that's dangerous. That was back in the day.
You know,
I just showed
our 6-year-old Little Shop of Horrors, and he didn't know what the laughing gas was, so he just thought Steve Martin was crazy in
right.
that scene in the dentist office. We couldn't really explain to him what laughing gas is because he has no experience.
That is a very, very special movie, Little Shop of Horrors. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
It is great, and I just heard recently that Rick Moranis was assaulted by somebody on the streets of New York City. And it makes me...
You didn't see the video?
No. Is it real bad?
There's a video. It's harsh. He was totally sucker punched and he went straight down.
Why in God's name is that the person? That's how bad we are right now? That one of the sweetest, most beloved guys that we miss in movies so much, who just did a commercial with Ryan Reynolds, and I loved seeing Rick so much, and it's like some guy hits him? That's the world we're in?
Yeah, just a little guy walking on the Upper East Side. I think he wasn't Rick Moranis in that moment. He was a symbol of what's happening in Manhattan and New York, I mean, all over the country, all over the world, and the gentleman who did it probably didn't know that he was going to be on camera, didn't even think about it. But, you know, we don't know the circumstances of what might have happened 2 minutes before, just for, you know, shadow of a doubt.
I'm sure, familiar with Rick, you know, he's vicious. You know, he's ready to attack. He's a ninja. So, you know, he had to stop the sweetest guy in the world who's done nothing but, you know, try to deal with life and make people happy over the years. So, shame on that person, and
well,
I hope they get...
Going into the city now is scary. I feel bad for people who live in Manhattan.
Well,
I saw, what is Seinfeld put something in the New York Times, didn't he, about how New York will come back?
And, yeah.
You know, and it was a really big deal that he wrote that.
And I believe it. And I have a daughter that lives downtown and a daughter that lives in Brooklyn. And they are, they're not seeing what's getting reported. And so they're going out at night, and it's maybe because of where they live that they're not right in the middle of it. But I know other people that are, you know, incredibly concerned. That a friend that owns a couple restaurants that are wonderful, and he's not, you know, he's got a whole life he has to rebuild when this is over. But the violence and things that are happening in major cities that are not as bad as that's what we're all fearful of, is what's going to happen in the next couple months. You know, I don't want to wish my life away, but 2020 would be nice to be over.
I know. Well, between COVID and the protests and the violence, and then businesses going down and the layoffs, I heard the airlines are going to have another lieu of layoffs just in time for what would have been the seasonal travel, which is probably not going to happen because of COVID. So I don't know how much better the next year is going to look, but I know everybody should really do some good tax planning with their purchase choices for the end of the year, says the bookkeeper in finance. Make good decisions so that you can get as many write-offs and benefits as you can
right
before 2021.
Well, we've learned that you can write anything off from the past few weeks. I mean, you can write your kid off. I don't know how that happens.
Well, now, how much are you spending on your hair? Because I hear it's a really big expense.
You know, I look up to people that spend a lot on their hair. So my hair is actually bright orange as well now. I look more like Rick Astley as an older man. But, yeah, I've got kind of a howdy-doody kind of look. Yeah, I just think you got to be careful how you file deductions, you know? And I don't know how much is... We just don't know all the facts because we're not seeing actual documentation of anything. But I also believe certain news sources more than others. And I don't know. I'm so sick of all of it. We are all exhausted. And then there's people that want to be violent. And I have no tolerance for that. I'm done with it. So we need to stop the violence.
I got to say, we have toned down just about everything we do. So I get news mostly from Facebook and podcasts and things like that. I don't watch the news. I don't read newspapers. I'm really trying to make it so when I wake up in the morning, all I think about is taking care of the people that are closest to me. And even if they live far away, taking care of them, sending care packages. And like, I've sent bagels to Virginia, cheesecakes to Florida, like bringing people joy. And then when I go to bed at the end of the day, I don't have a knot in my stomach and that hard feeling in your heart of the stress.
Right.
You can't control.
Well, you're smart.
That's what I learned, that the whole quarantine, it's a survival technique. It's the only way to
output positivity and to help people when you can. That's what I'm doing here when I do this. It's my connection. I have
you're reaching out to human beings and reminding us that we get to be human and talk. Like, you're one of the only other people I've spoken to today. I just look at a computer screen and send emails. I don't talk to people. I think that's why
need to do that. I went to a COVID test this morning because I was on a trip and someone was exposed. So I've been having like 5 different tests in the past 8 days. And I drove in a car in line, and you wear a mask and you don't open your window. And then you swab your mouth and you put it in a thing. And then, you know, it's some bad sci-fi movie mixed with a miniature golf course of driving. And then it looked like the DMV. And then I put it in a big trash can in 100-degree heat. God knows what's going to happen to my saliva. It's probably going to dry up like like an old something you pulled out of your nose. I don't know what. But I think it sounds to me like comedy is something that has helped you through this time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The more dick jokes and poop jokes, the better. I mean,
don't put them too close together. Because that's a whole other kind of virus. That's a different one. You know.
But like, really, if everything right now is so cold and dehumanizing and there's violence and there's illness, sometimes just hearing like somebody talk about a bukkake can get you through the day. And it just sounds ridiculous. But like, I know, that's how we have to get really raunchy to balance the universe. Everything is so awful on one end that we can get totally gross on the other. And it brings us to a happy medium. And you can laugh with your partner and sit and not be stressed out because Bill Burr says something completely inappropriate or Jim Jefferies goes off the rails.
It's so funny that these are my friends, you know. So what it's, I had, Bill was over my house a couple weeks ago and we had a cigar, not the same one. We had two separate ones. And he was smoking one end and I was the other. And then we met in the middle and now we're engaged. We're registered.
Oh, like Lady and the Tramp style?
Exactly. The spaghetti. And we're registered at Crate and Crate. But he and I, I was talking about cancel culture with him and how I'm not allowed to say this anymore. And I don't want to say anything that's misogynistic or going to offend. He says, Bob, fuck it. Just do what you do. Just do it. What are you going to stop apologizing? You're a good person if they think that's what you do. And I've had people, Gilbert Gottfried years ago on a Comedy Central roast, said something terrible about me as part of the roast, because that's what a roast is. But it was beyond offensive. And now people will tweet that because they're 19 and they'll say it's a fact that it happened. They don't even know the source of it. Everybody could literally make up something and cancel somebody. In a second, you could actually do harm to someone's public life or personal life. So yeah, it's...
Well, Gilbert almost got taken out with some...
Yeah, he did.
Some kind of controversy, I remember.
Yeah, it was a tsunami, and he was doing puns about it, and it was tragedy. And Gilbert's thing is when something terrible happens, he will do the, you know, too soon joke. He'll do it the moment it happens. And people.
Well, I remember comedians and cars getting coffee, and Seinfeld is interviewing Steve Harvey. And Steve Harvey says, I hate to tell people, but when tragedy strikes, we have the joke that night. We may not be able to say it, but it's already written. We already know what's funny about a terrible situation.
I've been doing it all week and deciding not to hit send because not to tweet it, because I'll tweet something and I'll show it to my wife and she'll say, Bob, think about the other people that are going to read this. And it's true. I mean, you're sending bagels to Virginia to help people, but if you accidentally send them to a hate group, you know, don't have the return address on there.
So let me ask you this. This is, I need like fatherly Bob Saget type advice.
Okay.
Now I know what my father would say. So my 6-year-old is very funny. He's very cultured. He gets a lot of stuff from my husband and I. And I want to introduce him to stand-up. And the only one that I can show him right now is like Seinfeld or Gaffigan, because they're clean, quote.
Yeah,
Who else is out there
funny
that I can expose him to?
Oh, I would.
Because you're friends with some of these people.
Yeah, Brian Regan. Brian Regan is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Every special, he could do a special a week. He is a machine. And he's clean. And he's... and. It's interesting when you watch certain people and you go, did they curse? Because it felt like it. Mike Birbiglia is someone. And, you know, it's funny. If you look on Twitter and you see what Mike's outputting, you go, whoa, I don't want my kid hearing a bunch of political stuff. But that's not what Mike does in his stand-up. It's thoughtful. It's about life. It's about his kid, about his wife. And Jim Gaffigan is full of that. And, of course, he went through his catharsis with what he needed to do. And he didn't back down, and I love him to death, and he's, you know, people are sensitive and they can take but so much of what really upsets them, no matter who they are, as long as they're not acting it out in dangerous ways. And he's a hilarious, wonderful person. So I would also say, Gaffigan, you can go through many, many specials with your 6-year-old. I'm trying to think of what other people your 6-year-old would really like.
I'm thinking Tom Papa, maybe. I might have to
I think Tom Papa, definitely. No, definitely Tom Papa. Tom's a friend, and he is fully consumable. I didn't mean to say that. I'm not attracted to him, although he does have his glasses and his nose combo are cute. We have a nose and face and eyes off when we see each other, because we both look like our nose comes off with our glasses. but he's great. He's great.
Okay.
Brian Regan would be somebody to really go up on and find in Netflix or Amazon or wherever it is. Well, take care of yourself, Sabrina. Go back and get those balloons and happy birthday to your mom, right?
My mother-in-law, yes.
Oh, your mother-in-law.
I'm excited to hear that I got to speak to you.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, send her my best. Thanks for talking to me so long in a parking lot or wherever you are. Be safe.
I know. I'm just strolling around, but I'm just so happy to hear from you. Yeah, the crazies are out today. All right.
Take care of yourself.
I'll let you go. Thank you so much. You too, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you at a gig backstage someday.
Okay, will do. I promise.
It will happen again. We will be out in the world. It will happen.
I'll be there.
Okay, bring the balloons.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, have a great night.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, thanks, Bob. Bye.
Bye-bye. So sweet. We are going to take a little break, and then you know what we'll do? We'll be right back. That's what I say as a professional, but everybody says it, so it's kind of not original, but here we go. All right, we're back. I have one more person to call because it looks like an interesting story to me. His name is Dan. I'm going to call Dan right now. And it sounds like he's a very good man from the notes here that I have. So what happens is when you call, I get notes on you guys. And once in a while, I get to hear the messages, which I like, but I don't like to tip it too much.
Hello.
Dan, it's Bob Saget. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I'm just, you know, we're all hanging in, right?
Yeah, we are. Bob Saget.
That's me. That's me.
You got me while I was having dinner with the family, but I'll take a few minutes with you.
Oh, yeah. I just need a few minutes. Tell your family hi. I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's Bob Saget, the actor from Full House, you know, Danny Tanner. Yeah, you want to say hi to Danny Tanner? I believe it's you, Bob. You're on speaker.
Hi, everybody. It's Bob. I hope you're having a good dinner. I'm sorry to interrupt your meal. I apologize. What was that, Dan?
Got a podcast. I called it a podcast.
Yes. I just had a question for you, because it sounds like you've been through a lot of stuff, but is this a bad time to ask you about it?
No. It's a perfect time. I just left the room.
I wanted the listeners just to know what you've been going through, because it sounds like you're just an incredible guy.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it sounds it. So fill me in now.
Hold on a second, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on a podcast right now.
That's something you didn't hear 10 years ago. I can't talk. I'm on a podcast. So what is your current vocation? You got the whole family there having dinner. It sounded like five people. Is that right?
Yes. I got my wife and three children.
Oh, congrats. That's a gift. That's the gift that gets us through a difficult time, for sure.
Yeah. Well, they're all homeschooling now.
Right. I should have been homeschooled. I had a pretty bad life.
I
would have loved the pandemic.
No kidding. I was dumb as a tree stump back in my school days.
I actually was a tree stump. I was made it. I met this guy named Geppetto, and he turned me into a real boy. So I got nothing.
I can see that.
Right. So now I did say that you're a postal worker here. So what's the deal with that, and what's going on?
It's been difficult. I know there's been a lot of misinformation out there, especially from our top guy, which is just crazy. But things seem to be leveling out right now as far as holding mail back. We're not doing that anymore, but there's a lot.
You were holding mail back?
Oh, yeah. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of pieces of mail every single day.
How can you do that? Isn't it against the law?
It is against the law, and I don't know how they were bypassing all of our regulations. And it was a pretty united front on, you know, craft employees and managers to not do that. We were doing everything we could to get as much out as we can, but we don't have complete control over the mail that's coming into our office because it's coming from other places.
Right.
So it's troubling times, but
what city do you live in?
I'm in Tarpon. Oh, I live in Florida, down in Florida, Newport Richey.
So do you think Florida was more of a culprit of that whole mail holdback? Because nobody believes that this really happened.
I think it was nationwide, honestly. As far as we all know, it was just, it was happening everywhere. It was only for a few weeks. And then everything just kind of grinded to a halt and we went back to normal.
Were you able to get all those hundreds of thousands of mail documents out?
Yeah, everything. I mean, we delivered everything. Everything got delivered. We don't keep it all. You know, it's going to go out.
So obviously it feels like it was designed around the election, right?
Well, I can't really comment on that.
No,
I do
you
have
can't. I'm sorry.
Hatch-act responsibilities. But
yeah,
it was definitely strange for sure.
So maybe just
and it did create a lot of distrust with us amongst the community. But for the most part, everybody knows their mailman. You know, I've known my customers for 7 years.
Right.
So, you know, I always tell people, like, if you have questions about what's going on with the mail, ask your guy. He's there every day. She's there every day.
Yeah. Is it possible, like, on the conveyor belts that things go around in a circle that, like, chewing gum got caught in it? Could that have been what happened in every state?
It could be. It could be.
Maybe the problem is chewing gum, and then everybody accidentally dropped it into the the gears.
When I delivered up in Boston for 6 years, somebody's finger went through one of those belts, and that was an issue.
Wow. And the other thing that it says here in my notes is that you are a combat veteran.
Yes, I served in the invasion of Iraq in 2003.
Well, thank you for your service, seriously.
You're welcome. I had mentioned my wife says, don't talk politics.
Right. No, actually, we're not. I mean, you actually tell her that I started to ask a question and you deviated because you have to be true to your school.
Yes.
Yeah.
He tried, but I deviated.
No, it wasn't even politics. I just was curious about the mail, which is...
you're just asking about the Postal Service, that's all.
And then I stopped. Tell her we're on to the combat veteran part.
Yeah, we're good. But I served for 5 years. It was an incredible experience. I was in the Navy Seabees. Most people don't even know what that is.
No.
It's construction battalions. You go out, you're attached to the Marines mostly, and you provide whatever they need for whatever the situation requires, either facilities for their camp. When I was there, Saddam had blown out all of his bridges, so we had to go put sustainable bridges right over that path so the Marines could get in.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know that existed.
Well, John Wayne made a movie about it a long time ago that wasn't even in color.
What was it called?
John Wayne and the Fighting Seabees.
Wow, so it was a documentary?
No, it was all acting. It was pretty corny. And we were required to watch it when we graduated from our school.
Oh, my God.
It was nap time. Yeah, they're like, it's a movie. Nobody sleeps. They're like, oh, okay. And then they left and we all just crashed.
That's so weird. That's like having to watch Reefer Madness to give you drug education.
Well, if I had to watch that in high school, I was probably on Reefer.
Right. I think people do watch that high if they can find it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So were you in danger over there? Did you see any fire?
There were some moments when we were putting our bridges. Saddam still had power, so we had taken on our second to last bridge project. We had taken quite a bit of artillery fire because they did not want the Marines coming in. But
right.
we don't stop working for anything.
No, you're a good man.
But
you're just a good man.
I really appreciate that, Bob.
Well, you
I know I'd, on my phone call, I mentioned my buddy, Josh,
right,
who I had served with. He started a podcast, and he was working out of the comedy store there. But now he's just doing it from his patio.
Right. And his name is Josh O'Brien, right?
Correct. He's a real good guy. And
can people find his podcast? Can people find that anywhere?
It's pretty much everywhere. It's called Civilianization. Basically, you know, you're becoming a civilian again.
Right.
And he talks about that whole transition process. He gets a lot of veterans with PTSD, or, you know, he talks about how to transition into VA and all that stuff. And or just go on there and tell your absolutely insane stories from when you were in the military.
Right.
But he gets a lot of guys on there, and he's been trying to get his stand-up career going. But
well, I wish him the best. Tell him I wish him the best, and I'll check him out for sure.
I will definitely do that.
Dan, I really appreciate you got up from the table. I apologize. Please tell your family I'm sorry to take you away, and thank you for giving me
problem.
Your time. I really, I don't know you. I just talked to you on this podcast, but I think the world of you, Dan. You just, you know, you're a proud, good American. You're a human being, for God's sakes. And thank you. Thank you for doing everything you do.
I really appreciate that, Bob.
You're
I really
truly
do.
A,
and
you're
my
a
kids,
frontline human being is what you are. I mean, you're right there. Your kid. Go back to your kids. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I was going to say they watch you pretty much every day, even if they've seen the episode 100 times.
Tell them I've only seen each one once, and it was when I was there.
Yeah, no kidding. I will let them know.
Please take care of yourself and send my best to your whole family. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you, too.
Have a good, safe rest of this this crazy 2020.
You, too. You, too. Hang in there and watch out for them fires.
Yes. Oh, man. I got a bag packed. I've had to evacuate before, so it's...
Yeah, I was stationed out there in California, and I had to live through a lot of wildfires, too.
Yeah, it comes with the territory. It's just getting worse, you know, because we got we have to rake those 200,000 miles. We have to rake them. We got to go out with rakes.
Got to get the rakes and the leaf blowers.
Yeah, I'm going to take a dustbuster out there. Well, stay well, and thank you so much.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. What a good person. Well, there you have it. Another episode where I get to call people, and I look at it as a privilege that people even call, leave messages, want to talk to me. And it is weird when I call, sometimes they're watching that damn sitcom from a million years ago. And I'm sending my best to everybody out there. I look forward to calling you guys again. You can look up the phone number up there, leave a message, and then I'll tell you on Twitter, Instagram, stories, or Facebook when I'll be calling you. And you know how you got to do. You know what you have to do. I can't talk. You want to rate, review, and subscribe or follow, whatever it is, on the medium you're doing this. And when you rate it, you know, give it the 5-star. I'm a Michelin podcast as far as I'm concerned, because I've got a snow tire. Good night. And the other thing is you want to review is I love it. Bob can't get enough of me. So real. Instead of, you know, hate that asshole. That's not good. Don't choose that option. Go positive. Let's try to go positive as we slide home on 2020 and stay safe and stay alive and try to believe the truth if we can find the truth, because we can handle the truth. That was the opposite of what Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men, which I had a girlfriend once. She liked A Few Good Men. All right, then. You guys take care. Do what you got to do to take care of yourself and, you know, for your mental health and your health, and listen to science of intelligent people that aren't making shit up. And I'm not trying to put down people that don't believe things, because I'm just saying, wake up if you can, or try to at least listen to people that are smart, that have science backgrounds and aren't trying to scare you with propaganda, because it's real, whatever it is, because we're living it. And take it easy, and I'll pick you up at 7 tomorrow morning, and we'll do some errands. All right, I'm here for you. That's such a good slogan. And there's another podcast by that name, but I'm really here for you. That's what I'll change it to. Take it easy, everybody.
In 1929, the Shane family opened our first jewelry store. Even then, we were intent on being different. We wanted to be more than a jeweler. We wanted to be a friend. Our intentions haven't changed. When you visit Shane Company, you're treated like a friend, and your purchases come with the best warranty in the industry. You can be assured we'll always be here for you. Most jewelers will charge you for their warranty. Our warranty is free for a lifetime and even covers the center stone. We're able to offer you an unparalleled warranty because of the quality of our jewelry. Whether it's an engagement ring, a wedding band, a stunning necklace, earrings, or a bracelet, the structure and design of our jewelry ensures it will last a lifetime, because that's what a friend would do. Now you have a friend in the jewelry business. Shane Company and ShaneCo.com. Hello, friends in the Bay Area. Shane Company has moved to a new location in Cupertino, and those doors are open. We're still on Stevens Creek Boulevard, but down the street from our previous location. You've got to come in. We've kept everything you love about Shane Company: the largest selection of fine jewelry, a relaxing shopping atmosphere with our non-commissioned team, a chance to compare two diamonds side by side, and a view of our jeweler's workshop. We've made a few updates, too. A spacious new showroom, rough gemstones you can actually hold, and a fun selfie station where you can get a photo of yourself in your sparkling jewelry. Find the perfect gift, an engagement ring or something for yourself. We're at 19900 Stevens Creek Boulevard. You can also visit us in San Mateo and Walnut Creek. Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.